we see coincidences happening, but then I'm realizing as I look back at all those little coincidences, it's almost as if it was the hand of God in all of that.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Case.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hi. This is Thin Line Believers. I'm sure you knew that when you clicked on the link, so I don't know why I share that information, but that's who we are. And you have the three amigos today. Three caballeros. I don't know what you want to call yourselves. But anyway. There you go. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for that. I wish I... You know what? I'm going to find a way to record that, and that's my new ringtone.
So, send that to me.
I will. It's good that you guys are clear over there in Colorado right now and not sitting across from me, because I'm pretty ripe. I've been working outside all day, and I don't smell pleasant. So, lucky you. Anyway.
I could picture it in my head, though.
I'm sure you can. Yeah. So, hey, you guys got some interesting news. Anybody want to talk about anything new? Mike?
No.
I know Joe is still secret squirrel. Michael, you're moving, man. You're moving, allowed to talk about it.
But I'm going to still kind of keep it on the DL for a little bit longer.
Okay.
I am moving to...
Should we just say south? State,
a different state.
A different state. It starts with A. It has a Z in it. That's about it.
So, Amazula.
Yeah. And as soon as things get settled in, we'll definitely talk about it more. And I might have to dedicate a whole podcast to that thing.
It's worthy.
And I've been kind of journaling in my phone how we see coincidences happening, but then I'm realizing as I look back at all those little coincidences, it's almost as if it was the hand of God in all of that. And so I'll talk about that later, and I'm sure Josiah could agree with me on that as well. But I am definitely planning on moving. I will not be here in the Centennial State. I will be 5 hours from the Pacific Beach. I'll put it that much.
Well played.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure like me, you guys quit believing in coincidences a long time ago. So,
yeah.
That's just a convenient word for them. But anyway, cool. Well, I'm excited for you guys. I'm living vicariously.
And I'll be ready to share soon. So
good. Good. Fantastic. Okay. Who wants to dedicate this? Anybody? Anybody?
I'll pray. Yes. Nope, I beat you.
Yes.
Hey, age before beauty.
That's all right. You got me beat on both.
I'll get the end.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have, the freedoms we have here in the United States and in this world, Lord, because you rule and reign. God, to speak about you, to gather as brothers and believers, Lord, to proclaim your name. Father, that's our only purpose in this life, is to please you. We ask, God, that you would be that with our lives, with our conduct, Lord, with our families, with our jobs. Everything that we do, Lord, that it would bring you glory, bring you honor. So would you go before us this evening, guide us, direct us, lead us, Lord, for that one person that listens to this podcast, that you have a word for them, And if you would so choose tonight to use us three men to be your mouthpiece, then Lord, may it be so. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So like I said, it's a surprise topic for you guys, but it's not that big of a surprise. I just figured I would keep you unprepared just to kind of see where this goes. So I've been... My reading's a little bit odd. Usually in the nighttime before I go to bed, I read from the Old and from the New Testament. So right now I'm in, you know, a book of each. And then in the daytime, I just kind of go to a book where I feel like that's where I'm led that particular day. A lot of times it brings me to Job or Psalms. And recently, it's brought me to Jeremiah. And I think part of that is I do see what's going on around the world right now. And it really reminds me of the way God used Jeremiah to speak to the nation of Israel when they had, backslidden, I guess, for lack of a better word. I mean, they had turned their backs on God, really. And so I see that a lot. Right now, all around the world. But at the same time, it's very interesting because there are people coming to Christ in droves. You know, I mean, we see that with Chino Hills, right, where there are baptisms, record numbers of people being baptized. And so it kind of brought me to Jeremiah chapter 4. And verse 1 says, "If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear, the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory." So I kind of wanted to pose a question to you guys. And I think I know what the obvious and the biblical answer is, but also, I'm kind of curious from a practical standpoint, do you think that the world, and in particular the United States, is too far gone? Or do you think there's still hope? And I was listening this morning to Billy Graham, to one of his crusades, and he talked about sin, and he talked about where they were as a country back then. And he has no idea, right, where we are today. And he even quoted, and I wish I could remember the quote verbatim, but he talked about something that Winston Churchill actually said, that the world fails to hold on to its morality, and he blamed on technology. Because of technology, we have left our morals behind. So there's my question. Do you think that we are too far gone? Or are we savable? Or is this all intended to be pre-tribulation period, I guess?
I would start off by saying... I mean, God has a plan for Israel, and so Israel's, we know, is God's going to finish that and complete that, and they're His people, and so there's definitely a day where they will be reunited with their Lord and Savior, and right, the Messiah, and be brought in that, and the world will come against them, and God will ultimately defeat all of the nations as they war against God. So I mean, he has his hand upon Israel. Now when we talk about the United States as a whole, I mean, I don't see the United States mentioned in a lot of the Bible prophecies. So as a nation, are we too far gone? You know, let's talk about individual. Where are we as an individual? And I think that's where in our churches and in our jobs and in our focuses is where we need to be, right? I mean, I would love to see, you know, a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our land. And I would love to see, you know, hearts and lives changed and brought back to the Lord. And yeah, naturally that would be amazing, right? If we would see what, you know, my father got to see in the 70s, late 60s, right, of the Jesus people, and where a lot of our pastors that we love to sit under and listen to were blessed and ministered by. But, you know, as a people, as you're saying, I mean, sin is one click away, and it individually, I think there are people that are too far gone, and individually, I think there's people that are ready to hear still the word of God and be changed. And if that was not so, we would not be here.
I mean, I agree with everything Josiah is saying. Man, Josiah got raptured. What the? Let there be light. So, I agree with everything Josiah said. Let me kind of share my thoughts in sections. Putting aside as officers and firefighters and as soldiers, you see the worst of the worst. So I think our view, you know, nationally as a state or maybe as a county is a little bit different from some people. But in this text, we got to think, like, I mean, this text was written how many hundreds and hundreds of years ago at a time where there was no hashtag stuff, Instagram, TikTok and all that stuff, right? Having said that, to answer the question, is our nation too far gone? I don't think so. Because I believe God's still extending his grace for that last soul to be saved so that there is an opportunity for grace to be experienced so that they can experience the grace of God, to experience the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Having said that, it starts at the individual level. So, you know, Josiah mentioning, we're going to go home tour right now. Josiah mentioning his dad experiencing the Jesus movement. I remember watching an interview with Ben Corson interviewing his dad, John Corson. And in his interview, he mentioned that at the time, at the height of the Jesus movement, was all kinds of madness. And so in that, I think it's no different in the sense of sin is sin. Time frame wise, it's a little bit different. Sin is rampant back then. Sin is rampant today. And I believe that if there is pastors in the pulpits that are genuinely teaching the word of God, you know, and, you know, people experiencing God in such a way, I think a nation could be saved. You know, many, if not all, will say they'll attribute the Jesus movement to Pastor Chuck Smith. You know, and I kind of tend to agree, but I also believe that had not Chuck Smith yielded to the Holy Spirit, could there have been a generation that was not moved in such a way that there was a Jesus movement? That could be, you know, there's a lot of talk right now, a lot of, you know, of, you know, different ministries not teaching the word and whatnot. And but I think at the end of the day, is our nation too far gone? I don't think so. You know, God is not that weak that he can't reach a nation. God is not weak that he cannot save. God is not weak that, you know, I mean, this is God. I mean, just in the book of Genesis, in the first book, right? In the beginning, God. If you can't believe in those words, then we can't believe in anything else. You know, I believe that in these last days, that there's still, I believe, a group of people that God wants to use. You know, there's that saying, you know, I remember growing up as a Baptist kid, you know, without him, I can't, without me, he won't. And I think there's a group of people all over this world, really, even in our country, that are willing to go out and because they're called of the Lord, and they want to step out in faith. And I think the Lord's going to honor faith. You know, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, right? So when we step out in faith to share the word of God in love and people receiving Jesus Christ, I think that's going to be the ripple effect, you know. Could there be, you know, the next Billy Graham, the next Chuck Smith? I believe so, you know. I believe that there is a, you know, a movement that could be experienced again like never before. And so, like, you know, Josiah was saying, I think God's going to deal with Israel the way he wants to deal with Israel. Individuals that are, you know, in the United States, we're going to be at a place where I remember Greg Laurie doing Harvest Crusades. And people were inviting people and they were experiencing the power of God, you know? And so those people, if they get saved, could share the gospel to someone else, someone else, and someone else, and someone else. That could be the same today. And I don't think that'll be any different than, you know, any other generation. You know, we're seeing crime as it is. We're seeing stupidity as it is. No different than our parents and when they grew up as kids and our grandparents when they grew up as kids. I think each generation saw that old King James word debauchery, right? You know, I think they've seen debauchery in such a way that, you know, like, you know, we all remember that movie Back to the Future, right? And Michael J. Fox goes, pew. I mean, if the older generation back then heard music of today, movie of today and all that stuff, they're going to think that this is like a movie or Mars, you know? So, but God's grace is not in a particular generation. God's grace and God's Holy Spirit is for all generation, for time frame. I mean, at times I think, you know, our nation is too far gone because maybe of our possible leadership, but at the same time, it's a matter of praying for them and, you know, experiencing the grace of God. So, but yeah, I don't think the nation is too far gone.
You doing okay there, Josiah?
No. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, really well.
All right. Well, my headphones are dying. It's just tonight, I'm telling you. Everything's dying. It's okay. I just go with the flow here, you know?
Blessed are the flexible.
Yeah.
Hey, shall not be. It's an important message. So of course it's going to, you know, want to be silenced. I mean, my big thing is we can never lose hope, right? I mean, if God is still giving us breath in our lungs and he still has a purpose for our life, then that purpose is to get this word of God out that changes lives and transforms lives. That's what this world needs. And so until that day, like, I don't look to the president for my hope or my, you know, comfort in this world. I don't look to the goods or the quality of the car or the biggest house I could have, right? I'm looking to Christ to fulfill those desires and those needs in my life because he is my all. And if, and until Christ is done with me, that's what I'm going to be preaching, and that's what I'm going to be teaching, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with everyone around me. That's the hope that's within me. And so that's the message that we need to bring to our nation, right? So what I'm saying is, yeah, there's chaos. Our nation looks like it's, you know, just going down to the pits, and everything that we look to see is happening. We've got to understand that God's got his plan, and that plan is that he's going to return and create a wonderful thing on earth for us, right? He's going to destroy what we know of our world powers because of pride. They're going to rise up and try to take him out. And God's going to show how powerful and mighty he is, and ultimately bring it to pass that where he is, we will be. But what do we do until then, right? I mean, if my eyes and my focus are on the world and the things of this world, yes, I say there is no hope, right? It's everywhere I turn, everywhere we look, it's chaos. There's death. There's just, And these things are going to continue as man lives for themselves, you know, but as we as believers would, as the scripture says here, right, turn, remove the idols from our life, from his presence, and not waver. If we live in truth and in justice and righteousness, he's going to bring these things in the past into our lives. It's about turning from this world and turning into Christ. And so how can this nation, you know, hear that? How can this nation be turned apart from Christ? Well, it can't. So we as believers who are in law enforcement, in fire, in the military, just fathers, just mothers, right? It doesn't matter what your title or career is. Your identity needs to be found in Christ, and we need then to be pushing that out all the time, nonstop, telling people about Christ, because that's what's going to change our nation. That's what's going to turn us around. That's what's going to allow us to see blessings from the Lord.
I'm glad you brought it around to hope. I think that's what we're lacking a lot these days. And as a proof, I guess, of that, I have never heard so many suicide calls at work as I have in the last year. Suicide is rampant right now. I mean, you want to talk about a pandemic. There's your pandemic right there. It's suicide. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that vision is hope. And of course, my dog is going to start chewing on a bone now. But anyway, yeah, I think that we are where we are because of a lack of hope. And Mike, I saw that interview with Ben Corson and his dad too, and I like how John Corson, the older he gets, he seems to me to be more like John the older he got, right? I remember a story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but about this church that invited John to come and speak, and they were all so excited, and he stood up and he said, "Little children, love one another." And that was his sermon. Love one another. It reminds me of the verse that says that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold, right? So I think that it's up to believers, it's up to the church to live that kind of life, to spread the hope that we have in the Lord. Titus 2:13, right? Is it Titus 2:13? I gotta look it up. The blessed hope, I believe, is Titus 2:13. And it's up to us to share that hope, because only we have that hope. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I had this—I had a conversation with a buddy of mine the other night. I sent him that same wacky video that I sent you guys. And he said that instead of, he'd had a change of mindset. He'd been so focused on looking for when the return of Christ is going to be, that he realized that it's not about that. It's about that Christ is returning. Mm-hmm. It's not about when. It's about that. And John Corson said the same thing not too long ago on one of his YouTube little shorty videos. Mm-hmm. That we need to refocus on the fact that Jesus is returning. That we're
That's exactly what. When I talk to my dad, I'm like, what was it during the Jesus movement that transformed you guys? What was it that was that spark? And my dad's like, look, we were looking for hope and for stability and for everything in life and in drugs and sex and in all these things. And here comes this message of Christ who will fulfill the longings in your heart that you were trying to fill it with the world. And the minute that Christ came into their life and freed them from the drugs and freed them from the sexual fantasies and everything else that they were doing out in, you know, free love and all kinds of craziness, Christ came and took all of those worldly longings away and filled it with a hope that never dwindles, a truth that will never fail. Christ is always there. He's the one constant thing I can rely on in this world. And for them, it was, at least my dad says, it was that message that transformed their lives, and they said, my friends need this, right? Those around me need this. And I think we've lost that passion of telling people of the hope and of the life transformation that Christ does in our heart. And we look at our neighbor and we say, oh, well, they've got the house and the dog and the cars and the good job. Well, yeah, they're okay. They're good people. Well, that, no, right? They're dying and going to hell. Like, they need Christ. This is the very thing that's going to help them through the difficult times, the hard times, the moments of doubt and alone, like just being alone, right? I mean, that alone through the pandemic that we've had, people feel isolated. People feel like there is no hope. And you were saying that, right? And so how can we get them back to that? How can we see that Christ is the answer to it all? And do we have that passion to go back out and to tell them of this, right? Or have we as, and I think you posed this at the beginning, right? Is our nation too far gone? I believe that we have some churches and some people that believe that. And that's how they're living their life. Well, the world's too gone, so let them die and go to hell, and I'm just going to concentrate on myself and make sure that I'm going to heaven. Well, yeah, one, make sure you're going to heaven, but don't damn them to hell. Christ is still giving you breath in your lung, so he still has a purpose for your life. That hasn't changed, right? That calling on our lives to go out and to make disciples and to baptize them and to tell them about who he is, that hasn't changed because he hasn't called us home yet. And so that's the same message that we still need to be bringing to the world.
I have my Bible open to Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Hmm. Right? The hope.
Amen.
And you know, the scamdemic in the broader picture of things.
You can't call it that. He already called it a pandemic. You're confusing. Okay.
All right, pandemic, or can I say plandemic?
It's sin.
Hold on a second. You know what it really has?
Sorry, my wife is chasing our dog to try and get the bone away.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Okay, go on. Well, sorry, that was entertaining me.
So the picture that I see in my head, and I don't know if it makes sense. So the bigger scope of things, like Jack Kibbs always says, there's an evil presence of it all. The coronavirus and all that stuff. And I'm not a scientist. But was it a pandemic? I'm not going to argue that. But what it did was it sucked away hope, because it arrested people in their houses. Mm-hmm. And they're like, cool, I can watch YouTube all day, Netflix all day, Hulu all day, and all that stuff. After some time, that's unfulfulling.
Yeah, especially since we weren't on YouTube yet.
Yeah, right? Well, that's why. But think about it.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, the suicide calls and the thoughts of suicide goes up because why? Hope. All the activity that humans have been doing has been wiped away. And so all they have is this to look at, right? And they have no hope. So, but then when you arrest people, in a sense, you have to stay home to flatten the curve, and whatnot. What happens? This really, I don't know, this really showed its true colors in a lot of believers, pastors, whether you're pastor or not, but Christians alike too. I mean, they're like, recently LA County decided to reinstate the mask mandate as of today. There are pastors that are saying, okay, great, we're still not going to force the mask. There are other pastors that are like, we're going to encourage you to wear the mask. I thank God for the Los Angeles County Sheriff that said, we're not going to enforce mask laws. And, especially if it's not based on science. And having said that, when you suck hope out of the whole equation, there's a loss of what's there to live for, And the evil picture of it all is if we could, have everybody at home and blah, 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 have them dependent on the government. Well, the reality is those of us that trusted in the Lord, those of us, we know Jesus Christ is the foundation of our heart. We ought to have been ready to share Jesus to the people that have the feeling of hopelessness, right? But then when you have Christians that are not filled with the Word of God, there's no hope for them, And so there, for them, it's like, what else is there to live for? I mean, not including the suicides in the secular world, but suicide in the church even, right? It's huge, And this is where the Bible says to be ready in season and out in season to give a reason, right, for the hope that we have. And so therefore, it's like we ought to be giving hope to people that are feeling down and out or whatever the case might be. So as much as this plandemic, whatever you want to call it, the Christians around the world should have been in a position, hey, I have an answer for you, right? I have, I kind of wish that I was alive during the Jesus movement days, to see all these hippies being changed, to come around, to accept Jesus Christ. And, you look at old school videos of Pastor Chuck and I'm in long hair, bell bottoms, barefooted, smells like three trust oils or whatever that is. And But they were all about Jesus Christ because why? Just like you were saying, hey, come check out this bald preacher teach the word of God. And it's bang. You know, songs are being written right there and then. Revival is taking place. And I think, Josiah, you're right. I think you mentioned, should I say this? Should I not? There are churches that are like, oh, we'll move on. Could they be Reformed theology? I don't know, because they don't believe in evangelism. I don't know if I should say that, but it's like, if you think that people are predestined to go to hell, it's like, what? Are you kidding me? You know? And so,
and I think we have this mentality that everything's going to get better, right? Oh, Christ isn't come to my life and it's going to get better. It's going to be perfect. Well, no, I'm still going to have hard times. Those guys in the hippie days, they still had troubles. They still had hard times, right? It wasn't all hunky dory. I mean, you read Jeremiah 17. If you continue on down in that verse, it says that in verse 8 of chapter 17, it says, he will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out towards the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. So the heat is going to come, right? But that person, that tree, that person that's whose trust is in the Lord, whose confidence is in the Lord, is not going to fear when the heat comes. It's you're going to remain green. It says it won't worry when in a year of drought. It's going to still produce fruit. There's a drought that we all go through it. We're all in this evilness of Satan trying to destroy lives. I mean, I think we failed to forget what battle we're in. We're not waging war against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. And Satan's whole goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what he was doing in the Jesus movement. And that's exactly what he's doing this day. And that's exactly what he was doing in the garden. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if he's going to use, the Vietnam War and all these things back in the Jesus days and the people deserting and running and sex and drugs and love and, hey, just come to Woodstock and everything's going to be great for you and destroyed lives, right? Lives destroyed and fried on acid and all these things. And God saved these guys from these things and their lives were made whole. It didn't mean that they were free from temptations and free from these things. No, but they understood that the very thing that they were lacking and looking for was found in Christ. And we need to come back to that, right? That it's not about everything that we have. It's not about anything else but Christ. And you were saying that, Mike, just like we need to return back to our hearts, back trusting the Lord and not fearing the things that are coming. Right? Not fearing man, not fearing these regulations coming down, but staying true to what Christ has called us to and fight this battle the way that God has called us to fight it. One, we need to be men of prayer, churches of prayer, families of prayer, putting Christ first in everything that we're doing and representing him. That's what it is. What's the worst thing that could happen to us in this life is I die, right?
And we go to heaven,
right? I mean, it's not that I'm going to be careless and like whatever and just go do whatever I want and push the boundaries. No, but I'm going to trust the Lord that if he tells me to go, that I'm going to go. And if he tells me to go do this, then I'm going to go do that. And he's going to bring me through it to his perfect plan. And so the whole way I need to trust in him, the whole way I need to be going through it and bringing my family to that aspect to say, this is who God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. What happens is I'm taking my eyes off of this, off of the word of God, and I'm putting it on man to trust them to get me through a certain circumstance. I need to go back and trust the Lord. What does God call me to do? Right? As a church, have we brought the sick in, and are we anointing them with oil and praying for them? Doesn't the Bible scripture tell us to do that? How have we been reaching out? How have we been helping those in need? Or do we just simply go, oh no, I can't, you're sick, I can't come near you, right? Absolutely not. Like, if God tells me to go pray for someone, I'm going to pray for him, I'm going to listen to him, I'm going to trust him that he's got a plan, and he's going to bring that to pass. And that life matters more than what might happen to me.
Well, you're sharing a couple of things in life. I don't hold your thought.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Man, so my son was in John chapter 15. And those of us that are in John 15, right? That's abiding in the vine. And I think a lot of Christians, and I don't say this to be mean, and I don't say this to step on your toes. If you're listening to this and it hurts you, that's the Spirit nicking your heart. If your life is reading Our Daily Bread booklet, and you've been a Christian for many, many months and years, you need a good slap on the side of your head. Because, you know, if your Christian life is just on Our Daily Bread, no. Jesus Christ said in John 15 to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. That's key. Whether it's the last days or not, it's to abide in the vine. And then, you know, I have my Bible still open to Jeremiah. I know, and I don't know why Adam picked this book, but I know in Jeremiah 18 is the potter's house, right? You got to go to the potter. Some of these Christians, we got to go back to the potter's house, you know? And I remember Mike and Pam Rozelle, they have a potter's house ministry, and they would do this live pottery scene, and he's just working the clay, crushing it, building it back up, crushing it, taking it, reaching inside, taking out junk. The Holy Spirit needs to convict the church. The Holy Spirit needs to convict people of our lives today. You know, if our lives reflect more of the world, something's wrong. You know? And so there's a quote I want to read probably at the end of our podcast, but we need to be at a place, I'm abiding in the vine. Because why? I want to bear fruit in such a way that people are drawn not to me, but to the tree. Right? Like, and that's part of the Jesus movement, you know? And I think a lot of times churches are trying to do so much. Remember like just so maybe you remember, and Adam, you might remember. When was that? Not that long ago, the whole seeker-friendly church movement, you know? And it was just kind of one of those things where we're trying to appease, you know, the flesh or the world and say, hey, let's play worldly songs inside the church, you know? That's not how it is. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that draws one to the church, so to speak, or to the cross. And so if the more I abide in him, and the more I said, Lord, shape me, mold me, and make me, right, as the songs that we sing, then the people that see us is like, man, you're different. Your reaction to whatever's going on is different. What is it? You know, because people have focused on whatever the government might tell them, whatever the CDC puts out, or whatever Dr. Fauci says. You know, we're like, right? No. What does the Word of God say? You know? And if the Lord wills, hey, I'm going to keep sharing hope. I'm going to keep abiding in the vine. And I might need to go back to the potter's house, get adjusted, you know, and have some things cleaned out, and to be sent back out. And I just wanted to share that because I think a lot of Christians are looking at worldly doctors you know, the enemy is just planting seeds of discord and whatnot. And I think it's just not healthy for the believer. And what's healthy for the believer is, hey, be plugged in and be planted, grafted into the tree of God, abide in him, because why? Then you're going to bear much fruit.
It looks like Josiah is searching for something.
Well, no, I was just saying in this whole idea, and I wanted to grab another version. Jeremiah's ministry, he was called to come talk to a nation who was turning away from God, a nation whose heart was turning away from God, and they rejected God, and they even rejected the very message that Jeremiah brought them. I mean, Jeremiah's, you know, ministry was, when you think of it, was not very successful. And the fact that the children of Israel at that point never turned their hearts back to God, right? They were just stiff-necked people, and a lot like those that live today. But God called Jeremiah to be faithful, to continue to bring this message of hope, to continue to bring this message of turn, because if we do, and we will, God will meet us, and our lives will be changed. And I just think of what, you know, you finish Jeremiah and you go right into Lamentations, and it's Jeremiah just pouring his heart out of being depressed. I mean, just totally devastated. And in Lamentations chapter 3, he, in verse 19, he says, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." So Lamentations, Jeremiah has been just pouring his heart out and saying God's forgotten him and God's left him and he's all alone and he's called him to go talk to a people that doesn't care. And he says in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." He says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." Right? In the midst of all of that, in the midst of the devastation and the people just coming against him and making fun of him and just ridiculing him. And, you know, Jeremiah was overwhelmed with a depression, with just a, man, this is heavy on my heart and on my soul. And he says he had to bring this to remembrance, right? He had to reach deep down into his heart, into his soul, and he had to bring this back up. He recalled it back. He said, no, this is why I have hope. He says, the Lord's merciful and we're not consumed. He's compassion. He fails not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord's my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. And I think that's where we're at, right? In the midst of all of this that we're in, we need to bring back the remembrance of who God is. And that's exactly what Mike has been saying, right? And exactly what we've all been saying this podcast right now is remembering who God is, remembering that God is on the throne. COVID's not going to destroy God. The United States is not going to destroy God. This world is not going to destroy God. There's no way. He's in control. And that's our hope.
Yep, exactly. And I was hoping that we would kind of circle back around this way, because...
Circle back. Oh.
I think... I'm going to circle back to that one. I think God is more concerned about the heart of an individual than he is about the heart of a nation. Amen. Now, granted, we do see in Revelation, right, that he's going to treat nations one way or the other based on how they treated Israel as a whole. But for the time being, for right now, I think the listener needs to know God is so in love with each and every one of you. And I, you know, okay, we're three men on this podcast, and I think sometimes it's hard for a man, especially a type A man, to hear something like, yeah, Jesus or God is in love with you. Understand that God sent his only son. God sent his son. And it's more than that. To take away from the fact that Jesus is God is something that a cult does, okay? I'm not saying that here was God high and lifted up, and he said, I can't do this. I'm going to go ahead and send my kid. And then I'm, have at it, boy, right? No, that's not, that is not how this went. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent God the Son, and they were in complete agreement that this was the only way to save humanity. This was the only way to save who they created. The word says that he created them in our image. The mention of the Trinity right there, our image, he says. And so when Jesus came, it was God in flesh that came to this world to save you, the individual. Paul says you were bought at a price, and that's a price that none of us could pay. But I absolutely guarantee you, you can take hope in this fact. If you were the only person that God could save, he'd still die for you. And so I think that in this day and age where people lack vision, so there is a lack of hope, we need to stop looking for hope in the physical realm because it's going to disappoint. And you, as an individual, on an individual level, sorry, countries rise and countries fall. But the word lasts forever.
Amen.
And I truly 100% believe that that's the only place that you can find hope, because it's the only place that is eternal. It's the only thing that's eternal. Everything in this world is finite. So.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and circle back around to you, Mike.
Circle back.
Thanks for pointing that out, by the way. I missed that.
Well, dealing with hope and the people that are feeling the helplessness is due to the fact that they have sinned, and you were talking, you know, you were preaching. And I have this post-it note. I don't know who said it. I'm not going to take credit for it. I don't know if it's a Baptist preacher or not, but three things sin will do and Satan will take advantage of it. Number one, sin will take you where you don't want to go. Two, sin will keep you longer than you thought it could. And number three, sin will cost you more than you ever estimated. Then Satan will take it and take advantage of it and use it against you. And I think when they're in that, like that Eeyore mentality of there's no hope, this is where a good friend comes in, and says, hey, wake up. Jesus Christ has got this. And that's the hope that we have, you know, because you're mentioned in heaven a little bit. We should be heavenly minded in all that we do, you know, and something that I'm trying to get back to doing is having
a song of worship in my heart and in my mouth, you know? And that way, not that I don't want it to be about me, but if I find myself worshiping God, then I'm constantly reminded I'm in his presence. Because the quickest way to be found by God is through worship, John 4. So if that's the case, if I constantly have a song in my heart, even though I'm going through difficulties, then I'm in the Lord's presence. And, you know, those of us, you know, in law or fire is a little bit harder, but those of us that are in law enforcement and you don't have a partner and you're in your patrol car, oh man, you can make your patrol car a sanctuary. You know, you could put praise music on, then listen to Papa Chuck or Chuck Smith. And, you know, and it's almost a learning, you know, you almost have a rolling church in your patrol car, and you're constantly filled with hope. You know, I've arrested people that were, they're going to jail. There's no doubt about it. But I'll throw on Greg Laurie, or I'll find a Billy Graham message that's within, you know, 20, 30 minutes, just enough to get to the patrol, into the jail. Now, some cops don't have the courage to do that. I did, you know, because I knew the hope could be preached and, you know, grace could be offered. But to make it a sanctuary, you know, and to experience heaven and its glory, you know. And so don't let sin trap you. Because why? Jesus Christ died for the sin. And if you receive Jesus, your sins are washed away. It's just, you know, we get into that trap of, oh, my sin this or my sin that, and we focus on sin and not Jesus.
Cool. Josiah? No?
Right. Amen to all of it.
That's good. That's good. One last thing. I think there's probably two different kinds of people that are listening to this podcast. There are those like Josiah and Mike who know their hope and who are either sharing their hope or at least they have that hope to share. And so I think we touched on that today, that it's on us to make sure that we're living lives to where people look at us and wonder, where does our hope come from? That's very important. That is a ministry tool, an evangelical tool, right? That can be used without even saying a word. Okay, you can just glow, you know. And kind of like Mo, right? Like Moses, when he came off the mountain, he had the Mo glow because he had been in the presence of God. He had hope. And it just shone from him, okay? And then there's the other side, hopefully not half, hopefully a lot less than that, but there's the other side that lacks hope, that doesn't really understand it. For those, I hope you found some encouragement here today too. My hope is gained when I spend time with the Lord, when I spend time in the Word, and when I actively try to live what it is that I'm reading.
Amen.
And so if you're listening to this and you're wondering, am I saved? Or maybe you're wondering, how do I become saved? Or maybe you're wondering, how can I know for sure? You know, I prayed the prayer, I repeated after that guy, but nothing really changed. Guys, you do this for a living. Can you answer those questions? How does the listener know that they are saved? Romans 5, right? I mean.
Yeah, Colossians. Give me 1 second.
The word says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right? Colossians, what do you got? I'm putting the pressure on.
The Romans Road, baby.
Yeah. I mean, Paul spent a whole lot of time telling people about their salvation in Christ, and that it's not based on works, it's not based on anything but a belief and a hope in Christ, right? When I keeping Christ the center of my life and not being taken away from, you know, not being drawn aside to say that I have to do something for my salvation, right? It's an assurance that we have in the work that Christ has done in our hearts. And so the full confidence of knowing that when we have confessed our sins and we have put our trust and our hope and our faith in God, that He has forgiven us of our sins, we can fully, with all confidence, know that we are saved and live in that confidence, right? Because Christ did it on the cross. It's done. There's nothing more that we can do to know that we're saved. It is that faith in that Christ paid the price, and that His blood that was shed has made us whole, has made us clean. Right? He is doing that work in us. It's not that we're perfect, because that's what He's doing, that work, that sanctification, that work in our hearts and our lives to bring us more closer to Christ. But it's that knowledge that what Christ did on the cross, that was it. That was the final. There's nothing more. And so it's a living a life of faith and trust, and is not being pulled aside. And Colossians talks about it, because the church there, they were being, you know, they had people coming in saying they had to go and find themselves, you know, secluded in a wilderness or in a monastery, and they had to go and, you know, do these things and fast and hold to these laws. And that's not at all what it was. Paul was saying, don't be distracted. You put your faith in Christ, you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. And and it's that confidence and knowing His word. If you're not in His word, then you're not going to know Him, and you're not gonna be able to have that confidence.
So I'll just share with you, on the Romans road, I actually wrote in my Bible, open to these verses and let the individual people read it for themselves. So the Romans road is simply Romans 3:23, right? Where verse 23 of chapter 3 in Romans, it says, "For all I have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then in chapter 5, verse 6, it is, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Then in chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Then in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then in chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You will be saved.
Amen.
"For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And in verse 11 it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed." And that's the Romans road. Simple. It's believing on Jesus Christ. And I think we talked about in one of the other podcasts, I think we talked about, you know, when Paul says in Corinthians, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right? Mm-hmm. The one thing, you know, I'll circle back.
Thanks.
Is the cross. You know, if we're not preaching Jesus Christ, the cross, you know, then how are people going to get saved? You know, and Paul gave up probably cemeteries use this as the best sermon that Paul ever gave, right? Hey guys, I want to talk to you about the unknown God, right? In the book of Acts, he sees that before he goes to Corinth. But he never in that message mentioned the cross. And in Corinthians, that's when he says, and this is where I fit in, you know, God chose the foolish things to confine the mighty, the weak things, the base things, right? And what? And he built the church there in Corinth there. And that's when Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and crucified. And that's what it is. And for those that, you know, I'm too macho or whatever, you know what? Swallow your pride. Because if you die, you're either going to heaven or hell. You know? And if you're listening to this or watching this, we have that hope. Death is graduation. Right? Remember the academy days? You're just like, yeah, it's finally here. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to get pinned. Oh, in heaven, what's going to happen? Hey, well done. God likes well done steaks. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? And for us, if we die, man, we're going to heaven, right? The only reason we wouldn't want to go right now is to leave our family behind. So that's why we pray for the rapture of the church. But if we die, what happens? Our hope is in Jesus. My last breath here on earth will be my first breath in heaven, you know? And I can't wait to join in on the singing that's taking place in heaven, you know? And I think it's going to be very eclectic, from worship, country, rap, whatever, and everything. Because think about it, all the world singing, worshiping the Lord. I can't wait for that.
Go ahead, Josiah. You've been reading that thing.
No, I was just reading again Colossians, where Paul's just telling the people, you know, you are complete in Christ, right? It's in Christ that we have our salvation. And I just go back to, because I hear it so many times, whereas believers, we feel like we have to do more, right? There's something more that I have to do because I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve this. I know what I've done, right? I'm a wicked person. And so we get to this mentality that, oh, I'm not saved because, man, I've screwed up again. Well, it's not the question of whether or not you're not saved or not. If you, again, exactly what Mike just brought us through in Romans proves to us that we're saved, right? If we've done those things, if we've walked that road, if we've confessed, then we are saved. Done. It's been paid for. Now the question then comes, am I walking in Christ? Right? My salvation is done. I've been paid for. Now what am I doing in since then? Right? Am I continuing to go back to the world and back to the pigsty and back to the mud of this world, and I'm living in that? Well, it's not going to be satisfying anymore because I'm in Christ. I'm a believer. And so God is calling us out of the world to live a life that's going to reflect Him. So instead of questioning, am I saved? get to know who Christ is, get to know who God is, get yourself in the Word, know who He is, and you will know and have confidence and grow in your knowledge of who He is, and you will not question the fact of whether or not you're saved or not.
I knew he was going to say something smart because he put on like those Star Trek headphone things.
So. No, it's just my phone is going to die, and I didn't want to miss out on where we were going.
Oh, okay.
Telling me, dude. Everything I own right now is just like, boom, boom, boom. It's okay.
Nice. Well, hey, you made it the whole way because I think we're probably done. So, hey, I'll pray us out. And this prayer is for the listener. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He turn His countenance toward you and give you peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And may He give you a good week. May He reveal more of His character to you, and may you find hope in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, folks. Appreciate you listening. It's as much for us as it is for you, I'm sure, because we are filled again anew every time we get to share with you. So we appreciate that. Find us on Instagram and Facebook, and find us at thinlinebelievers.com, and send us an email if you need to. All right, take care.